So what I was saying is that this is in at the end of the day, this is what happens. So if you live this life, right, and this is why you have to kind of outsmart life. Life is the world is a life eater, if you didn't notice. That means that pretty much everything that comes here goes through this cycle to where all of what we're calling life or energy becomes drained from that organism. And then they have to, I guess, repeat the cycle again, and they come back and the same thing occurs. And that's because everything around us is also pulling energy. The plants are doing it, people are doing it. And so if we can somehow tap into an inexhaustible realm of this kind of energy, then we would be basically loved by everything, because you would have all that energy to push out, and everything here actually runs on that energy, just like people run on currency, right? So it's like electricity almost. So what happens though is that when you spend a life in this, if you don't actually figure out how to enter into somewhat of an inexhaustible source, not only do you age, you also you start to mess with your next life. You're borrowing from your next life, basically. This is how I'm interested in this sea talk and this banking, because it looks like that this doesn't just need to be discovered on the spiritual level. There's documentations of this. And I got into, even the other day, of seeing a whole dissertation about how basically spirits are on a monetization system also. And so they have to work for anything they receive. That's why people like put stuff out for them, flowers and whatever they can get out there, because that's their payment for whatever they're doing, right? So, and they work on this system so strictly, a spirit can actually operate unless it's working on this system, okay? So when we cross that back into the world, we find that most people can't actually work without having some kind of money or payment. So for them to live in a life to where they can give money and payment to somebody else who, so the system is redundifying itself with an energetic system based on all the hosts in the system. So to remove yourself from that equation, at least understand how to master something like that, you need to first find some kind of inexhaustible source of energy. Now, it just so happens that our intellect and our being and what we were gifted with does that naturally, unless somebody starts tampering with it and pulling energy from it, trying to control it through us. You see what I mean? So if we were happy all the time, we felt great about life all the time, we didn't have so many judgments about things all the time, we didn't think so much all the time, we would have so much energy, it would actually be abundant. So then you would actually have energy to give to someone else without running low on energy, okay? So just understand simple energy principles. But then we know that that's not always the case. People seem to find themselves not with enough energy, not with enough currency. And because of that, when they perish from this realm, they generally owe. And this happens because they spend a lot of their time, instead of working in the field, trying to reap in the field. Because whatever you do here, if you help people a lot and you do everything, just do your best, basically. Exert as much energy as you can into whatever you're passionate about and see the fruition of it. If you do that, then next life, you won't owe anything. You'll actually have a credit. So you'll have dharma to pull from, which could help you escape poverty situations and crazy things that happen across the timeline. Now, since the timeline is a unified field, what happens to people is if they live like a really puffed up life, like they basically don't experience any traumas, anything, because I never actually saw anyone really crack into their abilities or magic without experiencing great deals of pain. And generally that pain actually happens to be, like, look at my situation, sitting in that cell, you know, wondering whatever happened, what, I mean, I was so intelligent, I was so gifted, you know, I was gifted and talented and magnet, you know, I had all these people that really loved me, charisma, and here I am, that intelligent in this scenario because of the structure of the reality and how it kind of, you know, targets certain people and all those kind of things, right? But it's still obviously bent in my favor. But I'm just saying, on a general level, people experience great deals of pain. And through that, they unlock themselves. They like figure out that they're more than just that situation, that they can survive. And that's magic, right? So now they're understanding their abilities through pain. So what happens from there is that obviously that kind of person is now attempting to prevent pain most of the time. So they're doing everything that they can to make sure that they keep staying above the bar from the energetic system so they don't have to feel the heat. The heat's behind everyone. That's really what our aging process is that there's like a fire behind us. If it catches up to us, then it consumes us. If we stay ahead of it, then we stay ahead of the ball, right? So the reality now comes to, though, is that if a person doesn't stay ahead of it and they get pulled into its vortex, it's like a black light, then they enter the debt system. And in the debt system, generally because of how they're conducting life, and this is why there's nothing actually, this is like Lady Justice's scales in the scales from the Kemetan Book of Awakening right there, weighing your heart against the feather, because you actually will carry on with certain deeds and mentalities during that life that actually will equate to what happens next. If you're not watching your life, you'll be into the me zone. You'll not build much energy. You'll take a lot of things from the reality. You know, the reality promotes actually doing that with those jobs and things that don't really help people. So at the end of the day, what you end up with is you slide then through the timeline actually into a situation where someone has a greater level of control over you. See, right now in this reality, the one that we're living, there's less control. There's a controller out there, but it's not right behind you like it was for our ancestors in the slavery days, okay? Because if we understood what they experienced and didn't get our memories wiped about what our ancestors experienced, we would go so hard in this life at this stage of not having that controller right behind us. But what happens to a person who is reaving, meaning that they're losing a lot of energy, when they perish, they slide back into one of those realities. So they actually reincarnate, and they don't even have to reincarnate as the child. The child actually, at a certain point, you watch the child and through stages gain sentience, 13, 7, 21. There's an actual new sentience that comes upon that person. We, in that body, think that we become more wiser. But we don't understand that wisdom is coming from our ancestors, coming back into us at an age or at a time in which we can now live to that level of experience. So what occurs, though, is this person that is a little negative and in debt but doesn't have the controller or they right on their back, when perishing from the reality in debt, slide into a reality that now this thing is closer. You see what I mean? So in everything that I've ever read that was true about the occult, they actually spoke a lot about that thing and to always stay in great distance from it, and that it's primordial, so it doesn't operate on the same mechanics that we operate on. So there's going to be no talking to this thing. And this is what I'm talking about, the injustices you see in the world, the crimes, the death, the savagery, all the chthonic forces. We actually can't meld with their mind. They're more a part of what's in our bones and what's what the water really is and what the flesh really is. They're those kind of mechanics. So it puts them on a different stage of the timeline. But because of their infusions, when you find someone that has an off balance of those infusions, then you get what you would see as a slave master. Someone who can actually enslave people without feeling sorry for them. Someone who can actually look for their own betterment versus others, that kind of behavior. So that same force that our ancestors are warning us to stay away from, we've watched pop up in every timeline. So this means that at every stage that time is running, the incarnations could come in and be, and that thing could be closer to them. So like in Pakistan, it's really close to them. Or is that Gaza Strip in Palestine, right? So in Palestine, it's really close. Syria, now it's really close. So this is how you understand the timelines. And what happens is when you incarnate, if you're still into that system, you can imagine that since you don't know anything about what took place before, you're only living out your judgment from a life of wasted time of when this thing wasn't on your back. Because then you'll notice, and this is how the cosmos thinks, so you always have to realize that all this is done in a specific kind of order that makes it proper. The cosmos, when watching you live that life of all those gifts and never using those gifts, will then attempt to put you into a life to where you will wish you had those gifts so that after that life, you will return back to the other life to where you can now obtain those gifts. Because the thought of a person that is constantly dealing with the oppressor is like, man, what if I could ever get to a life with no compressor, no oppressor or compressor? That's the same thing because it's a crucible. So what happens is that it puts pressure on people in order to perform. And that pressure causes a pain for those people because they're under pressure. And the adept learns to not need to be put under pressure in order to simulate pressure. So that way you can see the height of who you really are without the continuous going back to learning the lesson again. And that's why you find evidence that this is true, what I'm telling you, in the sheer act of when someone does something that they know is going to cause a situation, but they do it anyway. Even though they've seen that situation occur before, they've seen exactly what's going to happen with that, but yet they enter in again doing the same thing. This is more lessons the universe, as a university, intends to teach, because its overall instructions are energy management. How to create perpetual energy, how to keep yourself alive in a system like this until you can figure out how to not only get beyond it, but also what it really is. And that can spread out over such a long timeline because of all the different elements and things here. If we're not proactive at doing that every day, because the sun is the one that's really taking account. And so the sun is actually what's getting everyone older, right? So it's going to keep rolling. So after every day, if we've not learned anything, and that's why those are old principles people tell you, you know, make sure you learn something every day. And when I was told that at like 8 years old, every night I would think about what I learned, and I could always put 3 or 4 things on the list, always learn something new every day. So that hasn't stopped. But what you'll find is, and this is lackadaisical reality, you'll get people that are telling you you're working too hard. You'll get people telling you, you know, pretty much just have fun. A lot of that. And while that may be the mode of thought that they're in, it's a simple check and balance system. You already understand that if you spend a lot of your life in that kind of realm, then you're just going to get the diametric opposition of that next. So you're going to be taxed. And in fact, their entity is called Erataxis. And you can go and look that up. And you can see, again, the lineage of taxation stemming from the king wanting servants, even if they got to build large monuments and statues that look like them, because we just got to peep out what's really going on. Like, even the pharaohs have fought, because you can't make someone build a huge statue in your image unless you built that yourself. So all those people who worked to build that statue, just like the statues of the Buddha, worked in what they call devotion, right? It's a crazy word in itself when you look at it. But this devotion basically means you become a slave to this force. And that's actually, it's all written in the books. The person's basically a servant. And that aspect of thinking is what has a person, when you tell them they're a supreme being, they reject that knowledge. It's like, no, I'm not. Because they're like, or if you tell them that you're greater than Christ, no, I'm not. You know, you can do this. No, I can't. So that simple form of thinking, I just call it the O. Because the entities that bought that knowledge, all their names begin with O. Oannes, Osiris, they practiced the orthodoxy over the Ophelatria. And so even in the symbol, adept watches everything through the symbol. And that's what I was saying. When you know all this, you don't see life as individual situations. You put all the situations together and you find the common integers. And many times it's just a letter. And you just have to have the kind of brain or consciousness, and it's not even just the mind, but the spirit and the mind working in tandem, and it's taking those logs. So this data, like the question, hey, are they looking at you through the camera? These devices are not on the level of sentience to where we are. So, or where we're at this point with this kind of knowledge. We've transcended that. So the only thing that we would need to worry about is actually debasing ourselves to where we're on their level again. Because when we're not on their level, let's say they are the one that I was telling you about that's always behind us, then it can't interface. Because just like we can't think like it, it can't think like us. And this allows us to move in mysterious ways. So it can't actually pinpoint what we're going to do next. It doesn't click like that. And the only way you'll know that is if at one point you've been in the mind of one who thinks like that. This is another gift or a curse. It depends on how you think about it. But to be able to put your consciousness aside to think behind the eyes of something else's consciousness to see how it thinks. So then go back to your consciousness. So it's like what I do in radio shows. I more or less sit over there and I listen to me. And this technique allows me to be aware of what everyone is hearing. And sometimes it works better than others, but the reason why you have to do that is because you don't know what's coming out of your mouth until you've listened to it from someone else, because even what you're saying, they're hearing another kind of way. And this is what we take for granted in the world. We think that when we say something, that a person is hearing it and understanding it the way we hear it and understand it. That's not what's happening. When they hear it, it goes through a filter, and their mind is already running in most cases. People tend to not have much control over their mind. So instead of them listening to what you're saying, they're actually talking in their mind and asking themselves questions and denying things and doubting. That's judging. But it's not just judging like, hey, I'm trying to judge this person. That's not just the problem. The problem is you have another thing running when you need to be absorbing, non-judgmental, so you can see the whole picture. Because then you're not actually listening to every word per se. And that's how you're saying, well, how fast are you absorbing this knowledge when you're reading it? Very fast. Because I'm loading all the words until I get to a certain point, and then all that creates a picture. And then I take the picture and the concept, and that's why I like to listen to it more than just read it. Because if I read it, I hang on almost every word. But then if I listen to it, the way my mind works because of this kind of training, it just listens to a chunk. And then once it gets to a certain point, it closes the concept and it gives me the big picture. And then the big picture comes as a feeling, not a thought. And this is why how it can get deeper into my consciousness about what's being said. So then I can begin to simulate the response that's necessary because of what I've come to feel, not come to know. Because it's two totally different things. There's not much that comes beyond feeling with the mind. That's why it's not attached really to much of the feeling nerves. You can poke the brain when the brain is open and the person can't feel it, because there's no feeling centers actually in there from that level. So versus the lower areas, obviously there's a lot of feelings attached to it, or what we call senses. I think that's a really adept level conversation just for someone who's, you know, trying to just get right to the point to, okay, well, what's this all about? And now that can actually be spaced into as far as trying to teach a person. I only say try in this tense because it's up to them. They can either go positive or negative and neutral. That's what trying is. And so from that point, it's on them. But the better we can transfer the information. See, for me, this is the problem. And I was telling you this before. If I'm talking to that and it's me here by myself, it's so hard for me to believe that someone else is on the other side of this thing after what I've learned in the reality, just about, you know, how the reality is very isolating when you're going through experiences. And, you know, it's like all phenomena is being caused just to stimulate phenomena within you. And that phenomena, if someone else, you were asking them, hey, did you see that? They'd be like, see what? Because it wouldn't be there to them. So in that, it's very difficult for me to vicariously live through electronic devices, imagine that there's people over there, even if it's, you know, someone who is very instrumental to the growth of everything. I have to have a real person there because I'm just talking to that person. And through that person, I'm talking to everyone. But through this thing, because I'm here talking to myself, now I must imagine truly that the people that are on the other side are hearing what I'm saying. And then I'm also doing that through electronic carrier. I'm then going through their filters from electronic carrier. So now how much of what I'm saying is actually really getting through to them? But of course, the message has been powerful. It's impacted people's life. But how impacting? Impacting to the degree of what it would be like sitting right here, getting it and understanding it, also being in a session to where you can really teach it, which we know yet to make the Dr. Xavier jump to what we want to do here. But everything in time. And that's what, you know, I learned, is because my time is not going to run out. Like, I've already figured out other things about the mechanics to how realities operate. You can explain that to people. We explain that to them in Keymaker. We explain it to them so many different ways. They want you to show it to them. Okay, so this is, let me show you how the showing thing works. Now, the thing about powers is they actually reside in planes that generally are higher than the physical plane. Okay, so when someone wants you to perform something for them in the physical plane, they're actually materialists. And spiritualists and materialists are like on two different spectrums. You see what I mean? So, and also materialists tend to be sorcerers. They tend to want to see some kind of manifestation of the physical phenomena of their power and their reality, generally in retrospect to their energy. And that generally for them is company, money, commanding, power, all those things in the physical reality which corrupt the soul and the spirit of the individual doing that. So the next level of this is, and what's being taught, is just simply for the person to realize that this magnificent power that I'm explaining is still for the person to unlock within themselves. It's not necessary for me, beyond explaining it, to show them proof of it. Because, again, how they see it versus how I understand it, it's two different things. So it's not for me, and that's why, see, you can't mess up your own equations. This is how you mess up your own equations. When you start adding others to your equation, like when you say, well, I wonder if it's possible that I can do X. Then if you start thinking, well, how many people have ever been able to do that? Right away, you're starting to mess up your equation. So there's so many different ways, because you don't know the person's weight and measure of their spirit. So this is actually what it breaks down to. So you don't know if they're going up or going down. This could be an improvement for them, how they're acting right now, even if they're the craziest person to you, versus what they were doing before. So because you can't get an exact anything, even when using your intuition, now you cannot create order. And just like the cosmos, that's the true order. When they tried to bring heaven to earth, like these organizations, like the Jesuits, that's why they call them the order, because they're still responsible for making sure some rapist doesn't just rape everyone. They attempt to balance it out and keep some kind of order with their police departments. And then in that attempting to balance the power, they can become corrupted by the power. So that's always the perils of the sorcerer and the magician, is that they could be corrupted by that power. So that basically opens up a saga that's like Harry Potter. What we're trying to do here is take it to an entirely different level and put it under a whole different GUI. GUI is a GUI. The GUI is, this is how we're seeing when Microsoft OS. However, Microsoft OS is actually more of what you're getting here. So I can command the computer to do every single thing that I need to do from here, which is called the terminal. But people don't want to use the terminal. So we put a GUI over it. The GUI is the files are there, your pictures are there, etc. So now any deep programmer is only using the terminal. They actually don't even run their computers with desktops and all that stuff, because all that takes more power from the processor. All power must be put into the terminal. So it's the same thing in real life, that right now the GUI over the reality is still stuck back a few epochs. Like, it's, you know, it has different aspects to it. We could use another conversation to just break that down alone. But basically how people are interpreting what's going on behind the scenes in the terminal of the reality is through all of what they've been fed, from occultism to spirituality to religion to personal life experiences and all of that. And now it's so cluttered, it's almost like Windows 8 or the worst one that Windows had. It doesn't even really operate properly. So now someone must come, because still people don't want to use a terminal. It's too difficult for a person right away to use a terminal. That's like when you go to use the third eye, and then you activate the gift, which is your third eye, because, and we'll just call it the third eye here because it's the hypothalamus and the hypothalamus and the hippocampus and the pineal gland working in conjunction. The bride's in the chamber, third eye turns on. Now, the third eye is the only gift that we have that makes us different from animals, especially when you study things anatomically. Because what the third eye is capable of doing is it can pierce through anything without breaking it. This is very important, because if you don't break something, you don't harm something, you now have fulfilled the universal law. So you're not subject to karma. See, in the magic books, what they explain to you is that magic you can practice freely as long as it doesn't harm others. But unfortunately, most magic harms something. Like, it's just, you got to think about it. Like, at some point, it's like interest. If you're pulling something from somewhere, it's got to come from somewhere. So you end up back in that system again. The third eye is free from that system. Somehow, an orifice has been created, which that is the correspondence to the highest. And that's why it accesses the highest realm, because it's on the stage of not harming anything, but also not being unaware of everything. And that is true power. So personally, if a person knew that, they probably should spend most of their time trying to activate that. And all the rest of the stuff would just kind of be secondary, because that's the true gift, you see? So person can, of course, find themselves spending 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 hours doing something totally different that has nothing to do with third eye, right? Mm-hmm. So that once again gives us an analogy of the world we're living in. So what I do is, like I said, even when I'm working out in the class, I'm going over the book again. Most of my time is spent, even before I'm going to sleep, still in study or in meditation. Even when I'm dreaming, I'm sliding right into another reality that's been ongoing. Like right now, I've been hitting the same reality for the last 6 months almost. Every time I get there, I pick up from where we left off and we just go on. Last night, we were having a party. It wasn't like a party with drinking and all that, but it's just everyone got together. We were all laughing about it. These are all people that I know in this world now, but they're not living that kind of life right now. So at some point,
computer game. So you get to one level, you've got your memories thick, and you can get back the same level and carry on.
Hypothetically, but it's not so much as a game, more so than a parallel. Like something is then accomplished there that ends up. So you can actually read that reality for what's happening here. And you're just not, because you also understand where that one's in the future and the past. Like this one's in the future. It's a future timeline. And so I can easily read that timeline for things that I need to deal with here. And so I can kind of still, I can see who's who and what's what, because if they're still in the future with me, then there's a connection. And then when I'm removed from that, which seems to have something to do with the position of the cosmos, then I go into another house. And then in that house, I'm living a whole nother thing. And I'll stay in that house 3 months, 4 months, and it may be something even, you know, really crazy going on. Like one house that I go into, there's only young cats. Everyone's in prison. The society is completely totalitarian. They put everyone into basically prison camps. And in these camps, people live as if they're living like in a city, right? And when I go there, I'm the guy that's waking people up. Explain, because even in this place, everyone is asleep as far as to what's really going on and what kind of power they really have. Some people look actually different. They've changed their appearance to more of a darker appearance, and it's just because of the experiences that they've gone through, and now they're caged in with those experiences. But they're also not, it's almost like looking at a person that's very ugly but very kind, because their ugliness has created an insecurity that makes them have to analyze themselves all the time. So this stuff gets super deep in there, you see what I mean, in that world. And also, the most of the time in that world, what's conducted is an escape. So every night there is some kind of escape that takes place or that's attempted. And so you can imagine how those realities are still running, you know, they're still on parallels. So until that reality is completely, you know, freed, then in some aspect or another, even if I leave this world, I will return to that world to accomplish that mission. what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to synchronize all the realities. So that way, when I accomplish it one time, it's done on all the rest of my realities. So then those realities can fold back into themselves and I can move on. I don't know. Yeah, that's the realm of the I don't know, which I'm looking to get to. That's the realm of newness, you know, when everything changes. That's why I call it the day after ascension, because it's actually the day after I ascend all of my parallel realms. And then after that, you know, I was assuming it would be more or less along the line of, you know, total projection. So this means what out of everything that you've collected and know, now what do you want to do? Versus you're still in collective realities that, you know, you're now twined in with other people. You got kids, you know, you got people, you know, all these different things, all these components that are like you're tangled into. This is like where you get unraveled, you know, and now you can live truly as who you are without, you know, the orbit and the boundaries and the limits of your needing to learn.